Praise the Lord, my sisters and brothers. Praise the Lord. I feel blessed to be able to greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ on this another Sunday morning. Before I go a minute further, let me first turn to the Lord in prayer with you. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this day that you've given us. We thank you for allowing us to be able to meet in this fashion, even though it's not face to face. But we are able to have kindred spirits, Lord, because we invoke the aid of your precious Holy Spirit to not just lead us, guide us, and direct us, Lord, but to allow us to be as kindred spirits. This time that we might be able, Lord, to look into your word, to see things old, to see things new. Praying the Lord that you would impart to us the wisdom and understanding to be able to rightly divide your word. And I pray, Lord, that as the words leave my lips and go forth out into these airwaves, that you would direct them so that those who hear them, Father, will hear the truth. We hear exactly what is going forth, not being confused or deceived by the prince of the power of the air, which is the devil. So many times what leaves people's lips and what they hear too often are two different things. But Lord, if you will guide these words, direct these words, that they be received to those that you would happen to go forth to, we know, Lord, that they will be blessed and that it will yield true fruit. This we do pray in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Praise the Lord, my sisters and brothers. I am not going to do anything new. And I wish I had something new to tell you, but I don't. All I have for you is what is, thus says the word of God, and praying that he grant us the wisdom and understanding against that we can let it be illumination to us, let it be guide for us, light in this world of darkness that we are maneuvering through. Having said that, I'm going to state something that is very obvious. And you're going to think, oh gosh, this is going to be something dumb. What I'm going to say is this: with the amount of words in our English language being so great, so vast, I'm going to say that there are two words that are misunderstood. Two words that are misunderstood. Now, right now, you're saying to yourself, with all the thousands, maybe millions of words in our language, only two words that are misunderstood? Shucks. Some of these people who let these what we call $2 words, these words that many of us, most of us, don't even understand what they mean. Those words alone fall into this category. Because if I don't know what it means, I'm going to be obviously I'm going to be misunderstanding them when someone uses them. So I'm kind of stating the obvious. But I didn't tell you what these two words are. And I'm willing to bet that most of you not only know these words, but misunderstand them in the context that they're supposed to be in. Let me make that clear. In the context that they're supposed to be in. Now, what are these two words I'm talking about? The two words I'm talking about today is friend and love. Friend and love. These two words are two of the most misunderstood words in the English language. Some of you are saying, what? What are you talking about? Listen, I'm going to step out and say this. And I dare say this, and I'm going to stand by it. Okay? I'm going to say that most people have strange conceptions or, yeah, about what it means to love someone or to understand when someone loves them and expresses this love to them. Saying, wait a minute, I know what love means. And I know when somebody loves me. Do you? Do you? How many times, even in church, have we heard folks say, oh, yes, we want to love on them? And we see people out in the street or destitute, and we want to show them love. We come across people that seem like they're out of their head, you know, crazy, whatever, on the street, talking to themselves and maybe doing strange things out in the street or what have you. And we say we need to show them love. And that sounds so good. It sounds so good when we say these things, you know, to love on somebody, show them love. But how do you do it? How do you show them this love? Now, those who are around me often, and you have a chance to hear me say certain things, they'll be the first to tell you that I'm always talking about I'm always talking about the Good Samaritan. This is a good example for me of how you love on somebody, how you show somebody love, because you have a stranger here helping someone who's in obvious need, dealing with their obvious need, meeting them, in other words, meeting them right there where they are, a person who has been beaten, battered, bruised, left for dead. And they come along after others who claim to be re, and I use this word not loosely, I'll use it on purpose, claim to be religious, walk right by them. But this person stops to help them, a stranger. Somebody who's of a different culture than they are. I want you to understand that. But when they help them because that person is beaten, needed to be bandaged and have their wounds treated, they didn't ask them who caused it, why are you like this, what is your political affiliation, and all these other questions. They saw that person had an obvious need. And they knew that they could do something to help meet that need. And that's what they did. Now, I said the obvious need. Now, they may have deeper needs. It might have been gang related, mob related. He didn't know any of that. All he knew that this person had an obvious need that they could help with, and that's what they did. So when we say that we're gonna love on somebody, I want you to think about what you're saying and see if you really understand what it is you're really saying and what that means, not just what it means to you, but what it means to that person that you're saying it to. If indeed you're saying it to someone. Same thing when you say friend. When you call someone your friend, what are you saying to them? You see, let me go right here. Like I said, I'm daring to say this. when most people answer the question about friend, what is a friend? Who is my friend? Who is a friend? Who do you love? What is love? How do you love? How do you express these questions? The reason why I say they're misunderstood, because when most people answer these questions, they usually answer by stating how they would like someone to show them love, or what they think a friend should be to them. And you're saying, wait a minute, that's still obvious, but is it? You see, right here, if you live in Philadelphia here, which I'm talking about from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. If you live here, I don't care the condition of your home, if certain things has to be there, but I'll put it like this here. You have access at least to water. I don't care if it's in your place where you live, somebody else's place, in a health facility, maybe a library, a bathroom in a public building, in a park or something, but you have access to water. So you take that for granted. But if you live in a place where running water is not accessible, or if to get to water, you may even have to carry some type of pot or something to where that water is and take it back to where you live, because you don't have water, running water where you live. When someone comes to that person and offers them the ability to have water that they do not have to walk blocks or maybe even miles to get to, they will be showing them love. Or that will be a friend for them, because they are meeting a need for them. That's their concept. A friendship. That may be how they interpret friendship. You say, well, that's, you don't, you just take that for granted, but see, your situation is not the same as that person. So therefore, your conception of friend is going to be different, because you have a different need, because you're going to take the meaning of friendship is for someone meeting a need of yours. And the need is not always physical. It could be mental. It could be spiritual. It could be emotional. So that's why we say these words, friend, love, can be very much, and they are very much misunderstood, because you could have 100 different people who's expressing their meaning or their conception of love or friend the way they see it. So you got 100 different answers. Somebody could be very confused trying to, who doesn't, maybe, who's not from where you are, just learning the language, so to speak, hearing 100 different people giving meanings to the same word, they could be left very much confused. And I'm making it simple. I'm just saying 100. We have thousands of people, maybe millions of people going around not understanding what it means, what friend or love means. So it would be nice. It'd be nice if there was one meaning for these words that made sense, or where we can trust this source for the one meaning. Well, this is what I have for you. The Word of God, what it says about friend, love, and how they correlate. Which is why we're going to talk to you today on a very simple subject. Very simple subject. I've already given it to you. Simply, two misunderstood words. Two misunderstood words. That's what we're going to talk to you about today. And don't intend to keep you long. Let's get right there to it. In Proverbs, the 18th chapter and the 24th verse, you'll find these words written. A man that have friends must show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. You find those words written in Proverbs, the 17th, excuse me, the 18th chapter and the 24th verse. But let me back up for one moment. Don't want to get too far ahead of myself. Let me read to you the passage of scripture that I want you to take down where our text is going to be coming from. Because that's not where our text is from Proverbs. Let me give you where our text is coming from. For those of you who may be taking notes or whatever, this is where it's coming from. It's coming from the Gospel of John, the 15th chapter. It's going to be coming from the 15th chapter, the 12th through the 17th verses. Our focus is going to be on three of those verses, but I'm going to read the 12th through the 17th verses for you for the benefit of those who don't have their Bibles available to them. Let us hear what thus saith the word of the Lord. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love have no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. I no longer call you servants, because a servant doesn't know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, and fruit that will last. And so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command. Let love, excuse me, love each other. The Gospel of John, the 15th chapter, the 12th through the 17th verses. This is where our focus, main focus, will be coming from. The text themselves, the verses I want you to pay attention to is this. Pay special attention to. I want you to pay attention to them all, but special attention. Greater love have no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. The 13th and the 14th verses. And again, the 17th verse reads as follows. This is my command. Let, excuse me, love each other. Now, beloved, I want you to point out, I want you to understand what is being pointed out here. I want you to take note of how the Lord is showing us how love is involved in the relationship. Watch this, between brothers and friends. How he's using friend and brother together. How he shows the relationship, the correlation between brothers and friends. And he throws, and see how he throws himself in the mix. Why, look at all of this. He calls us friends. Those of us who are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, he calls us friends. And he also lets us understand that friends and brothers he use synonymously. He uses them together. So we are his friends. We are his brethren. And then he's telling us to consider each other brothers and friends. Now, let me pause here a minute for those of you who don't see the power and the mystery in this. The Lord has blessed me and my wife to bring forth three sons. Now watch this. We're our sons. I say we're because, of course, our youngest one is going on to be with the Lord. But watch this. They have accepted the Lord. Now they're my sons, but they are also my brothers in the Lord. And being brothers in the Lord means something, because certain things come with that. So they're my sons and my brothers. So those of you who have children who have accepted the Lord, they are now your brothers, sisters in the Lord. And being your brother, sister in the Lord comes with certain expectations. I'm not going to go into all of them. Now, that's not where we're coming from today. But I want you to understand this. So the Lord says, okay, he's equating friends and brothers, putting them on the same page. He said, okay, I got that. I got that. So he says, now, where are his friends, his brothers? We know that we're also joint heirs with him, with the Father. So we're all on the same page. I like saying, oh my goodness. This is getting to be strong. I knew this in my head, but I'm starting to have some feelings about this. Because now I see them in a different way. I see them all on the same level plane. Friends, brothers. Wow. Well, now, when we read what it says in Proverbs 17:17, let's go a little. We're going, yes, we're going into the Old Testament. I want you to get this. When he says a friend loves at all times and a brother is born for adversity. Now, again, we see with a friend and a brother is given equal status here. But watch what else he's saying. A friend, your brother from another mother. A friend has enough care, concern, and commitment between y'all to be there for their friend no matter what adversity comes along. No matter what situation comes up, no matter what problem comes up, they're willing to be there for you. You lost your job. Now, while you're trying to find another source of income, you've gotten to the point where you've all but depleted what little savings you had. But when your friend gets wind of this, understands that they're right there with you. How can I be of help to you? That's one thing they may ask. Secondly, they're willing to say, wait a minute, if you got no source of income, I happen to know that when you go to the utilities, the electric people, the gas people, and tell them you don't have income, they're not going to say, oh, it's okay, just keep using gas, keep using electric. If it's wintertime or whatever, or heat, you might use your oil, keep doing it. We won't bill you. You know that's not going to happen. Now, you may not be a person of great means, But you know that your friend has a need here. You know where they are. How can I help meet this need? I may not be able to give you enough food to last you from now until you find a job, but I can share my food with you and it can last you for a minute, maybe a couple of days, maybe a day. Maybe all I got is enough to last you for one meal. Maybe that's all I got, but I'm willing to give you what I got. Maybe for you to get along and pay all your bills, you might need so many hundreds of dollars. I don't have hundreds of dollars, but maybe I have 100. I'm willing to give you what I got. I know that it's wintertime and it's cold, and I happen to know that you don't have heat. I may not have enough money to pay your heat bill, but I got enough room in my house. No rooms for you with a bed, but I got floor space. Come on in and keep warm in my house. Share what we have. Whatever we eat, we make it. Hey, the goal for you say, okay, now I got more mouths to feed. Put a little bit more water in the pot. Gotta make a little bit more soup. Stew or whatever it is we eat. Yeah, I'm willing to share. That I can do. You do what you could do. A friend is willing to show that type of love, that type of care, that type of compassion, that type of concern, that type of commitment. It doesn't matter. If it's inconvenient to them, my friend is in need. This I can do. They are willing to show that type of love. That's what love is. And a friend does this at all times. Not when it's convenient for them, but you do that at all times. Not when, it keeps you from, I was going to go to the movies this weekend. We were going to go on a trip this weekend, but no, our friend is in need. That 200, 300, 400, $500 we were going to spend on this trip, our friend needs that. We don't need to go on that trip. That's how you love on somebody. That's how you love on somebody you know. When you do as the Good Samaritan did, that's how you love on somebody you don't know. The bottom line, you meet them at their need. A friend does this at all times. Because sometimes the need is neither material or physical. Sometimes your friend needs to talk and they need a listening ear and you're there. Sometimes they need counsel and they need to come to you, then and you're there. And it doesn't matter what time of the day. At all times. Literally. At all times. Their need may not be in the afternoon when you're wide awake. It might be in the wee hours of the morning when you sleep. But if that's when their need is, that's when you meet their need. But some of us, we don't even have opportunity to meet those needs as those wee hours. Why? Because we turn our phone off. I don't want to be disturbed in my sleep. If somebody wants to talk to me, they're going to have to wait until I get up at a convenient time, at my convenience. How can you love at all times if you don't make yourself available at all times? I just threw that out there for free. So that's what it tells us in Proverbs 17:17. So when you call yourself a friend to somebody, remember what you're saying. Don't say something you don't mean, so that way it doesn't become misunderstood. Again, I read a little bit earlier ahead of myself, but coming back to Proverbs 18 and 24 verse, what does it say here? A man that have friends must show himself friendly. And watch this. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Now, I want you to get this. Now, watch this. When you find that you have someone who is willing to stand by you through thick and thin, as we say. See, some of us had people who are showing themselves friendly to us. Too often we say, oh, that person, they come again, they're getting on my nerves. But they stop by, maybe daily, maybe so many times a week, maybe weekly, maybe monthly. But when they come by, they don't come by with their hands out for you to give them something. They come by, hey, how are you doing? How's everything going for you? You think they're getting your business, but they're showing themselves someone who is concerned about you. They ask you how you're doing because they're concerned about how you're doing. They care about how you're doing. You don't know what their situation is and how they are willing to help you. And then again, sometimes we do. Some of us have that friend that we know they have material needs, or material means rather. And if you say to a man, I'm running a little short this week, this month, it's nothing for them to reach in their pocket and pull out an amount of money, or to reach in and write a check for a certain amount of money. You know that. They're showing themselves friendly. When you find, now watch what the word is saying to you. If you have friends like that, he didn't say you could be or you should do that. He says, a man that have friends must show himself friendly. And then look what else he says. And there is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Now get this. Why he said, why, wait a minute. Look at this analogy. Why is he saying, wait a minute? Now he's equating the friend with brother. Why? Because one, it is expected for a brother to stand by his brother. It's expected for your brother to stand by his brother. Let me share it with you. My family knows this story. Okay, I've shared it with them a number of times, even with others. Now, I at the time, I believe I was in my 40s. Okay, maybe mid to late, I can't remember. But I remember coming out, I was coming out of my house. And I remember standing there, locking the door, and as I looked down the street, I see my brother running down the street with about five guys or so behind him. He's running. So I closed the door, and as they got closer to me, I said, hey, what's going on? Now, I knew the guys that were chasing him. I didn't know them all personally, but they knew me. And one of them said, oh, hey, Rev, your brother here did something to my brother. I said, well, I said, oh, and I cut him off. I said, oh. I said, well, this is my brother. Now, if he did something to him, then let them straighten it out. They can straighten it out now. Yeah, well, I said, no, and I cut him off again. I said, look, I get you to understand something. All I see is five guys or so chasing my brother. If he did something to him, it don't take all five of y'all to be after him. They're around the same age. Let them straighten it out. Whatever it takes. But y'all not gonna do something to my brother. That's my brother. So now if y'all gonna have to do something with one, now you have to handle to deal with two. Well, Rev, I said, listen. Like I said, if they did something, let them straighten it out, whatever it takes. If they can talk it out, talk it out. If they got to fight it out, let them fight it out. But it's not this there ain't no five of y'all gonna be jumping my brother. Now, was I trying to be big and bad? No. All I saw was some guys attacking my brother. That his immediate need is that he needed some help. I don't doubt that he could have dealt with any one of them, one to one. But not no 5 or 6 of y'all gonna jump in. As a brother, as my brother, I'm expected to do that. That's what I'm doing. I'm not going beyond the call of duty. My brother had a need. And I'm doing what I can to help meet his need. That's expected. Same thing with Christian brother. That's your brother. You're expected. You're expected. The Lord expects you to be there for your brother. So when he says, a man that had friends must show himself friendly, and there's a friend that sticks closer than a brother, that's because there's an expectation for a brother to stick close to his brother, to be there for his brother, no matter what. Like it says in the, like I said in Proverbs 17, a brother is born for adversity. For whatever situation, God, that's what the brother's there for. I gotta carry this load. My brother, oh, let me help you. That's what a brother does. I gotta carry the burden of trying to provide for my family, even though I lost my job. Let me help you. That's what a brother's expected to do. It's not something, you're not doing a good thing, a nice thing. What you're doing, what the Lord expects you to do. To be there for your brother, no matter what the adversity is. That's what he's showing us. Okay? Now, watch this as we move into our text. And look at what it says in the 13th verse. Greater love. Now, don't miss this. Greater love have no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. Now watch this. Jesus is letting us know that there is no greater way to show your love for your friend and brother. Now, you see how all along why he's been equating friends and brothers together. You see this? You say, oh, I'm seeing it now. Now, no greater way is there to express this love that you have for them than to lay down your life for theirs. If that's what it takes, if that's what it takes. No, not for salvation. That's what Jesus did for all of us. But you might be in a situation where, you find yourself when you and your brother are up against something bad. And maybe it's somebody coming after you or coming after both of you. And you got to stand your ground. Some people say you might see somebody getting ready to shoot your brother, and you don't even think about it. You move in front of them and take that bullet. That's what you do for your brother. That's what you do for your brother. And the Lord is letting us know here that. You would do and should do no less for your friend. Because you're that friend that sticks closer than the brother does. Not saying a brother wouldn't do that, but he's letting us know something. You don't have to be a person's blood brother to be expected to do that. I call you friend. I say, you're my friend. How do I show myself friendly? He said you should be willing. He said you have to do that. The situation may never come up, and prayerfully it doesn't. But you're willing to do that for your friend. Just like a brother would do that for his brother. That's what the Lord is saying to us. And there's no greater way to express this. Why? Because once you do that, you can't go any further. If you give your life for your friend, there's nothing more you can give. You can't come back and say, oh, I got some money that I left. No. I can't come back and give you what's in my cupboards, and can't do that. Because once I've given my life, there's nothing more for me to give. I've given you all. For us, that's the most that we can do. And he's saying, you cannot show any greater love than that, than to be willing, than to give your life for your friend. And we're saying, wow, I get that. And then he makes it even clearer. He said, you are my friends. This is what Jesus said. You are my friends. If you do what I command you, you're like, oh, don't miss this. You are my friends if you do what I command you. If you do what I tell you to do, you follow my instructions, follow my directions, obey my laws. He's telling this to his believers, his disciples, his followers. When you do what I'm telling you to do, I can call you friend. I can call you brother. You are the one that I'm willing to lay my life down for. You are the ones that I laid my life down for, so that you could be my friend, my brother. And he's saying to us, are you willing to do that for your friend, for your brother? You call him friend. Now watch what else he says. Okay? Remember what he said earlier. Greater love have no man in this. Now this is the greatest expression of love you can show. Remember we said that. So now you see where the love comes in when it's involving friends and brothers. To show them this love. When you're telling your friend, your brother, the person you're speaking to, I love you. I don't know what you meant. And I can't tell you exactly how that person received what you said when you told them you love them. Remember, we already showed that different people have different, conceptions or expectations of love. It usually equates with their situation that they're in. But the Lord has a different expectation. See, even that with the person you're talking to or yourself, his expectation when you tell somebody you love them, greater love have no man than their. Lay down their life for their friend, willing to lay it down. That's the key. The Lord, he's concerned about your heart condition. I'm willing to do this. My friend needs a kidney. His children, his wife, other people he went to, they're not a match. Go to find out I am. I'm willing to give him one of mine. They say you can, I can live with just one. I'm willing to give the other one to my friend. I'm willing to do that. Nobody else could match it, but I can, and I'm willing to do that. It may take away my life expectancy, but I'm willing to do that. Because great, because I love my friend. I've told them that I love them. And greater love. There's no greater love than this. To be willing to lay down my life for my friend. Be careful when you tell people you love them. Now let's go to say, I'm going to say this and I'm finished. This is what the Lord said. I remember the text. Remember the text. 14th verse where he says, you are my friends if you do whatever I command you. That's what he just said. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. Now watch what he said in the 17th verse. This is my command. Love each other. Love your sister, your brother. Been speaking in the masculine text because that's what that's where the text is. But we know that this applies to the sisters in the family of God as well. He says, this is my command. Love each other. Jesus is telling us right here that the love we have for each other as brothers, sisters, friends should be enough to have us willing to die for one another. You've been in the situation. Maybe you've been hijacked. Maybe you're in a country that's going out killing Christians, killing believers. And they say that unless one of y'all step forward, I'm going to kill all of you. If one of you so-called Christians will stand forth, we'll take one for all. Are you willing to do that? They would be amazed if they had 20 hostages who say they're Christians, and they say, one of you step forward, I'll spare the other 19, and they see all 20 of them step forward. That would amaze them that they would see that Christians are willing to die for one another. It has happened. That has happened. Sisters and brothers, I'm going to say this as I get ready to conclude. We need to understand that what we're saying to someone when you tell them that we're their friend. We need to understand what we're saying to someone when we tell them that we love them. Because, like I said, I don't know how they're receiving that. I'm not even sure if the one of you who says that, someone of you really know what you're saying, but you need to understand that the Lord has expectations from us. Because when we do this, we're saying a whole lot to tell somebody that we're their friend. You see, how can I call you my friend? How can I tell you I love you when I'm too embarrassed? Okay. Or I'm scared to witness to you. So you may not be saved. Some of us say, oh yeah, you can have a friend that's not saved. How come you're not witnessing to them? How come you're not sharing the Lord with them? Where are you loving on them at? If you're not meeting their need. See, their need goes beyond you sitting around and being company for them, talking with them, just shooting the breeze with them. They need to be born again. If they can't say to you, oh yes, I know the Lord, I confessed Christ a long time ago. Yeah, they may be in a backslidden state. They may be in a carnal state. I don't know what state they're in, just living hypocrites. I have no idea. That's not my job. Once they've said to me, and I asked them, oh yeah, yes, they said I have accepted Christ and can tell me when and where. They're like, now we can talk about some things together. Cause we're on a different we should be on the same page now. I can talk to them about what this says the word. Maybe they're on the path and they need some enlightenment. Maybe they're like the Ethiopian eunuch. They're trying it, but they don't understand. They're reading the word, but they don't quite get the understanding of it. And I can bring some illumination to them. I don't know what state they're in, but all I know that right now, my first priority is to see if you know the Lord. If you don't, my conversation with you take on a whole different direction now. Because that's my main priority. Not for us to meet together, for gossip time. Not for us to get together and just talk the breeze. My priority now is to make sure that you know the Lord. that you say you know the Lord. I don't know who does and who doesn't. The only one I know about is me. But when you tell me, oh, yes, I accepted the Lord as my Savior some time ago, or, well, I've been thinking about it, him on my conversations now. You just told me where my conversations need to be focused on. And if that means you stop calling me, if that means you stop accepting my calls, then I've done what I'm supposed to do. I can't go no further. Somebody else now will come along. Okay, and water the seeds that I planted. I planted the seeds. I've done my job. Because that's how I love on you. Recognizing your need. And just like my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ says, you must be born again. There's no exception. You want to get in the kingdom of God. You want to see the kingdom of God. You must be born again. There's no exception. When he told that to Nicodemus, a man held in high esteem, a man held high in regard in the community, a man who belonged to the most noted religious order at the time, the Sanhedrin Council, and he told him that you must be born again. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. This is our priority. And a lot of us forgetting that. We forget that because that person that's supposed to be our friend, the person that we say that we're their friend, they're used to us just having conversations, just talking. We need to have all those different conversations, all those different talks. That's what you want to do once I know that you have confessed Christ. But if you told me you haven't done that, my conversation has to change. And like I said, if that means we stop conversing, you stop receiving my call, stop calling me, I want to stand before God approved unto him, knowing that I'm on my job because the job we're on is 24/7, 365 days a year. And I know that I was on my job, Lord. I witnessed to my friend. I did what I could to lead them to you. Now, if they choose not to go, that's not my job. That's not my job. And this is what we need to understand. And this is why, beloved, why I say that the word friend and love are two of the most misunderstood words in the English language. Because a lot of us tell people that I'm your friend. Tell people that I love you. But are they right in line with what the scripture says about love and friendship? Hope and pray, beloved, that for those of you who don't know the Lord as your personal Savior, that you had, and for those of you who have not had that believing friend tell you that you must be born again, I want you to know right now that you must be. Not because I say so, but because Jesus says you must be born again. Take the opportunity right now to accept the Lord as your personal Savior. Because it has to be personal. It's not enough to know that He is Lord, but you have to know that He is your Lord, your Savior. Make it personal. So some of you need to do that. Doesn't matter where you are. Doesn't matter what you're doing. What does matter is that you wholeheartedly ask the Lord to make you born again. God bless you. And again, before I close, there are some of you who say, I've done that, but I've also gone my own way these last so many years. I've been doing my thing. Well, I want to say to you, the Lord is still right where he was when you think you walked away. He's still right there. Then come on back to work. Get back on your job. Your position is still here. I still need laborers in the vineyard. Come on back. May God bless you, my sisters and brothers. May heaven smile upon you, beloved ones. Two misunderstood words. Two misunderstood words. Praise the Lord. Like I said, may God bless you. May heaven smile upon you.